I've got a couple of scriptures I'd like to read before we begin our lesson. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel sees a time that those who lead people to righteousness, those who are soul winners, will shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. And we have been using pictures, and we have seen what some of these Hubble Space Telescope pictures of what the universe looks like out there. And all of that is, God says that the beauty of the Christian soul is going to be like that. Those that lead many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever. And notice in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise, because there's going to be a reward for it, as we're going to see. We're rapidly approaching 1 million hits on our website. If you'll notice, last month we had 86,737 hits. We had 4,605 people come to our website. You can see where it says sites. You see that 4,605 people, brand new people, never been there before, came to our website. And where it says visits, in that column it says visits, there was 8,027 who came to our website that had been there before. So we had almost 13,000 people came to our website, and they came 86,000 times. They came almost 7 times apiece. Wonderful thing. The gospel is going out of this little church to all of North Texas and indeed all the world. 57 countries last month. Who'd ever thought? We get emails from all over the world. We're going to start putting some of them in the bulletin. We have put some in the bulletin. I'm happy to report that Carlos out in San Diego, I told y'all about him, he started wanting to feed the poor out there. So he was going to a very conservative church, one of those churches of Christ that thinks it's a sin to eat in the building. And so they put on him that 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Well, he had heard my sermon on that, and he whooped on them right back. He said, how can it be talking about that when there was no such thing as church buildings in the first century? Well, it embarrassed them so much that they froze him out, him and his wife. And so he calls and talks to me, and his wife talked to me on the phone. They were crying. And so she's hurt, and he's hurt that these people would treat him so meanly over him wanting to feed the poor. And I said, well, Carlos, just stay with your studies, and don't worry about that, and don't argue with those people, and just do what you're doing. If you want to feed the poor, you go and feed the poor, and stay with your studies, and just put them on and pay them no mind less. And so Carlos, one of the elders and one of the preachers, told him, said, well, we'll just go with you once when you go feed the poor. And they went with him, and he called me, and he said, praise the Lord. Kelly said, it changed their life. He said, they'll never be the same. And it's true. You'll never be the same once you feed the poor, once you do something for the poor. You'll never be the same again. I'm telling you, I see people that come down and work in the kitchen. Often people come in the back door, and instead of me hollering at Larry or Gilbert to get them a sandwich, if Larry and Gilbert isn't handy, I'll go get them a sandwich, because I know I'm going to get a blessing out of the deal. I know I'm going to get a blessing. So I just want to encourage y'all that we're on the right track. We're really on the right track. And that 1 Corinthians 11 can't be talking about it's a sin to eat in a church building, because there wasn't no church buildings in 1 Corinthians time. Okay? All right, so now we're going to begin in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. Acts chapter 18, verse 19. And he came to Ephesus, this city of 400,000 to 500,000 people. Before we get started, I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered in into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, the Apostle Paul. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh up in Jerusalem, probably Passover is what he's wanting to go to. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now, back in the 16th chapter, God had told him, don't go over into Ephesus, don't go over into Asia. But now the time is right, and he's gone over there. And he sailed from Ephesus, verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Perga in order and strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is one of the chief cities in Egypt, and it had about 250,000 Jews living in Alexandria. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now let's stop right here and go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And Paul is going to talk about Apollos. Later, Apollos goes there, and he becomes a great leader in this church at Corinth. So in so much that there had been sects that developed there. And so a sect and different groups had developed. And some of them said, I'm a Paul. Another says, I'm Apollos. Another says, I'm Cephas. Another says, I'm of Christ. And so they all said, well, Dean taught me. And another said, no, Foy taught me. And another said, well, Kelly taught me. And so they tried to develop into sects. One of the first things the devil would like us to do is to get into cliques around here. And there ain't going to be no cliques around here. It's ungodly to be in cliques. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Now, I want you to notice there's some people not very mature, but they're in Christ, but they're like babies. And so Peter uses that same metaphor. He says, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So you need to desire the Bible that you can grow. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. There should never be any of that among any of us. Nobody here should envy anybody. There should be no strife and bickering among any of us about some other person for whom Christ has died. If you have an enemy in this church, I want you to recognize that Christ died for that person. And so you need to forgive them. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. For while one said, I'm of Paul, and another said, I'm of Apollos. So see, there are different cliques there. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. What do you plant? What does a preacher plant? He plants a seed. Jesus said, before the sower went forth to sow. So Paul says that I planted. Apollos watered, he baptized you, and then maybe he taught you some more. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, caused the church to grow. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I want you to notice you can't be saved based on your works, based on your labor. Labor, works of righteousness, deeds, good deeds can never save us. Good deeds do not prove that we're saved. Good deeds just show that we are saved. Good deeds can't save us. They just show that we're saved. Saved people do good things. But every man, according to his own labor, is going to receive a reward. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Eric, preaches here Sunday night. Manuel preaches here Sunday night. Other people preach, teach around here. Dean teaches a class. Floyd teaches a class. Other people teach around here. And another is building their own. But let every man take heed how he builds their own. Y'all take heed what you preach and teach. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Christ is the foundation that the church is built upon. Upon this rock will I build my church. And that rock is the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Here the apostle likes the good deeds and the works that we do and the souls that we win as gold and silver and precious stone. And I can look out here among y'all and I see some gold. I mean, I've been here for 17 years. And, you know, most everybody who was here when I first got here is dead and gone. They've all graduated. And I've seen a whole lot come. And I've seen a whole lot of them die and go on. And I've seen some of them go back to the world. And I've seen some of them move on. And I see out here among y'all, and I see some wonderful people that are gold and silver and precious stones. One of the analogies the Bible says is about souls. He says, and I will try them as one tries gold, and try them and purify them as one tries silver. When you try gold and you try silver, you build a fire under it. And the impurities come to the top, and the heavy metal goes to the bottom, and you rake the sludge off, the impurities off. And so God is refining all of us, and He's trying to make us pure in our life, and so He's getting rid of all the impurities in our life. But some people out here, I can sit right here and see that there's some that I'm really worried about you. You're just really gaming and playing with the Lord, and you think you're conning, and you think you got people fooled, and no, God sees right to the heart of the matter, and you're liable to turn out to be like wood and hay and stubble. And I want you to notice what this says, man. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. Fire is going to try all our works. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's going to be a judgment day. And on that judgment day, you're either going to be saved or lost. And if you're saved, you're going to turn out to be gold and silver and precious stones. And if you're lost, you're going to turn out to be wood and hay and stubble. Shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man. This might be from heaven. Somebody must be calling me. Who dare call me during one preaching? I sure hope it wasn't the Lord. I think he'd contact me a different way, don't y'all? Shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. And 1 Corinthians, it says, eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God hath already done, it past tense verb, hath prepared for those that love him. Now, my wife and I was given a trip to the Hyatt Regency Hotel at Waikiki Beach in Hawaii. We was given that by the president of Hyatt. And they put us up in the penthouse of the Hyatt Regency Hotel right there at Waikiki Beach. And they give us luau's. Ginger and I went to luau's, man. We went to all kinds of luau's. They had a club up there that had strawberries that big. You wouldn't believe it, and pineapple. And all you could eat. It was the most amazing thing. And the limousines, I got 1,000 pictures that I brought back and showed all y'all that was here then. The limousines and everything. And they all knew that this had been given to us, that we were poor people. And the president of Hyde gave it to us because they knew at that time I'd worked here for 10 years for no pay, no vacation. And so they give us things. And so it was the most wonderful thing. I'm telling you, everything about that trip went perfect. We rented a car, and it's just one road around the island. And so we decided to drive around the island, and we took the road to the left, and every tourist took it to the right. And we'd pass them, and they'd be 100 of them lined up at a red light, trying to get through a red light, and it wasn't nobody went to the left. Everything we did was just perfect. Everything was perfect. The beach was perfect. The sand was perfect. The view was perfect. There was Diamond Head to the left, the Waikiki Beach in front of you, the city off to the right, the Royal Hawaiian Hotel right across the street. Most amazing thing. And God says that what God has prepared for us is better than Waikiki Beach. It's better than the Hyde Regency. It's better than limousines. It's better than luau's. Now, you might not have been there, but you can picture this. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. It's going to be wonderful. It's worth it, guys. This is really worth it, what we go through down here. The pain, this brother back here that's turned blind back here, you know that if that hadn't happened to you, you would have probably continued sinning and you wouldn't have been saved. It's happened for the very best. You know that God loves us all. He individually works in our life. Not only is there a plan from before the foundation of the world, but He's got a plan for our life. And it's better than anything you can imagine. I know that you're hurting, sister, because your husband died. But if he hadn't have met you, he'd have never gone to heaven because he was baptized right here in this Church of Christ, right here. And you know he had done that before, and I don't think it worked before. But I'm convinced it works this time. Fire should declare it, for it should be revealed by fire, and a fire shall try every man's work, what sort that it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I'm going to get a reward for every soul that I save. I'm going to get a reward for every sandwich that I give out. I'm going to get a reward for every good deed that I do. And so will you. And if any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss. Now those of you that's just gaming, that's really not for real, every bucket's going to sit on its own bottom. Just because you go to hell, that's not going to send me to hell. I'll just suffer loss. I won't get a reward for you. See, I'll suffer loss, but that don't have nothing to do with my salvation. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now I want y'all all to make it, because you're all gold, silver, precious stones in that crown that God's going to give me someday. Look over in chapter 4, verse 6, and I want to remind you of this. We studied this in our last lesson. And these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred myself into Apollos, for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Don't believe no man about nothing dealing with God. Stay with what's written. If he hadn't given you book, chapter, and verse, you need to get out of that church again and go wherever he's giving you book, chapter, and verse. Let no one of you be puffed up one against another. Now let's go back now to Acts chapter 18. Back where we were, and we got up to verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, and an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He didn't know anything about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He just knew about John the Baptist. He just knew that John the Baptist had proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You can go read the first of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one of those Gospels, all four of them, has accounts of the ministry of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist turned that part of the world upside down. And this is some disciple of John, and here we are about year 47 A.D., and so it's been like 17 years since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this disciple of John the Baptist has been running around all over the Gentile world telling those Jews that are part of the diaspora about John the Baptist, that these are the last times that the Messiah's here. He just didn't know anything about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took unto him them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. And I want you to notice that word, the way, and it's one of those key words. It's like a secret handshake that you see in the Bible, and it's like people have secret handshakes and they have secret words. Well, this is the same thing, the way and the faith. Now, when you read in Greek, or in Hebrew, either one, if you read the word faith, it's talking about something that's in each of us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when you read the faith, it's talking about Christianity. New Testament Christianity is what it's talking about. When you read the way, it means there's no other way. There's just the way. The is called an article in Greek and in Hebrew both. And so it eliminates all other ways. It eliminates all other faiths when you see the faith. It's just one faith. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfect. Now we've got fire breathers in the Church of Christ. Some of our brethren, if they'd heard something like this, they'd have stoned him. They'd have said, throw him out of here, he's a false teacher. And what did Aquila and Priscilla do? Well, they took him aside and they told him about the gospel, about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They give him a chance to get in step with the truth. And so apparently he did and became a great teacher in the Bible. And when he was disposed to pass to Asia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so Aquila and Priscilla taught him pretty good. He learns how to teach all the new things that he should learn before, but didn't have any opportunity to hear them and see them and to practice it. So he learns and he practices. Don't ever get so set in your ways that you can't learn something. And so he learns the good word there is repent. It means he changed his mind and taught it right from then on. So now we're at chapter 8 and 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now Paul comes and finds disciples, and disciples are a believer. And so they believe. And so he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so they're living in a time and an age of miracles. And I can just see the Apostle Paul, he could take and put his hands on people and they could receive one of the nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, if that guy calls again, I'm just going to open that phone and preach to him. That's what I'm going to say. Amen. And so I can just see him. He's just ready. He said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so what do they say? Well, we've not so much heard. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much heard where they be any Holy Ghost. They hadn't heard nothing about Holy Ghost. They're believers, but they hadn't heard nothing about the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He's shocked. How in the world can somebody be a disciple, be a believer, and not know about the Holy Spirit? And he said, "Into what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." They're in the same boat that Apollos was in when Aquila and Priscilla took him aside. So what did Aquila and Priscilla do for this guy back here, Apollos? We're fixing to see. They must have done the same thing that Paul is going to do for these people. And he said unto them, "What then were you baptized?" And they said unto John the Baptist's baptism. And then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice, you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You understand? People come to this church and often they come forward and they say, "Well, I'd like to place membership. I'd like to join the church." And so I mentioned to them about baptism. "Oh, I was baptized 43 years ago." And I asked them, "Well, where was that?" Well, it's not even a sure enough thing if they were baptized in the Church of Christ, because we don't know that they're taught right. Here we know that you taught right. You're going to be taught right if you're going to be baptized here. You're going to believe, you're going to have faith, you're going to repent, you're going to confess Christ as Lord, and you're going to be baptized into Christ, trusting that God will save you based on His Word. You'll be taught right. These people were taught wrong and baptized, and so the baptism didn't do them a bit of good. So I do the same thing. I tell people, you just need to be, you know, and Jesus said, "My Father's house are many mansions." I kind of think of heaven that it's going to be better than that high rise at Waikiki Beach, you know? And I want all y'all in the same mansion that I'm in. Y'all are the kind of people that I'd like to spend eternity with. So if you're going to be a member of this church, we want you to be baptized into Christ and do it right. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So in those days, the laying on of the apostles' hands is how people receive these nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. And all these men were about 12. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God's the Church of Christ. And so he's teaching them about the Church of Christ, the kingdom of God. But when diverse ones were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way. You see that word again, that way, the way, just one way to the pearly gate. We sing a song about it. To the crown of life and the souls that wait. Said, "Oh, crossroads on the way called straight." Yes, there's just one way to the pearly gate. It's a song, see. Before the multitudes, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And so they think that building that I was showing you earlier was this school of one Tyrannus. And so Christ is going to conquer the occult world now, and time is now right. He was forbidden to go to Asia earlier, and now there's going to be uncommon. The extent of this victory is going to be just tremendous. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles. I want you to notice that they were special miracles. They weren't normal miracles. Now, some places in the Bible, Paul works miracles, and other places he doesn't. And so we'll study that. That's a matter of some other lesson. But these are special miracles. And it's because the devil is so powerful there. You know, I want you to understand, A Christian cannot be possessed by the devil. Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place at the same time. So if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within you, the devil cannot possess you. He can oppress you. He can be outside of you, and he can bug you, and he can hassle you. But if you've had your sins washed away and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit by becoming a Christian, by being baptized into Christ here at the Main Street Church of Christ, you've really put your trust and confidence in God, you cannot be possessed by the devil. Now, I'm convinced that some are possessed by the devil. You see one, I believe, last week. Walked right down here, sat on this second row, and I got into Isaiah 53, verse 8, started reading about the death, burial, and the resurrection, and he started hollering, hey, 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 and he got up and went out of here. You seen it last week. I'm telling you, it'll drive them from the building. The gospel will drive them from the building. Now, I called him outside later, and he was going to come in over here. I told him, no, 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 no. I said, once you run amok here, we asked you to eat out to the window, unless you can stay for all the church. So he went out back, and he hassled some woman out back. So I'm on the right track there about not letting him back in here unless we're ready to throw a net on him if he acts up again. And so, you know, there's some people like that. And so God worked special miracles, and God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now I want you to notice that diseases and evil spirits are not the same thing. They're two different things. Here they're shown in distinction. Diseases is one thing, and evil spirits is another thing. And this is special miracles that God did for Paul, and the reason for it is that Ephesus was the headquarters of so much occult activity, and it was Paul against the whole occult world, the whole wicked world, and God did special things to give Paul just as much power so he could box that devil, just as much power, because the devil has the ability to work miracles too. The word work in Greek is energos. It comes from the word energize, and it's just like, remember Star Trek, where you tell him, say, energize, Scotty, and bzzz, he beamed down, all that stuff. It's supernatural imparted energy. And so in the New Testament, in Ephesians, it talks about the Spirit that now worketh, energizes the children of disobedience. And that term in Greek means the children of unpersuadableness. They can't be persuaded by the gospel. So Paul now works special miracles, and these special miracles just demonstrate that the words that coming out of Paul's mouth is from God. That's the only reason that God granted any type of miracles, is so that it demonstrated the words coming out of his mouth is from God. And so diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain vagabond Jews, that vagabond means traveling, gypsy type Jews, exorcists, these people were supposed to be able to cast out devils, their own self, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, and Paul preaches. And so the name Yahweh in Hebrew, YHWH, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Jews won't speak. And so these magicians, traveling, vagabond, exorcists, Jews, magic people, all magic is tricks. You know that. They call it magic tricks, right? That's why it's called magic tricks. It's sleight of hand. When they found Tuck McCotton's tomb, some of the magic stuff that he had is in there. One of them was a vase that you see it, and it looks like nothing, but you light a candle in it, and you can see a pharaoh laying on the couch and a woman there with it. and it's all etched inside the glass. It's a trick. That's all it is a trick. Everybody's seen card tricks. Y'all know tricks. That's what these people were. They were tricksters. And they listened to Paul, how he cast devils out of people, and they sought to steal his magic by stealing the words. They thought that God is a stooge, and if I can just get the right words, he'll come and do what I tell him to do. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Pretty stupid. That if I can just get the right words. And so what had Paul said? Well, he probably said, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And so they use these words over somebody. They say, I adjure you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, thinking that Jesus is just a stooge. He'll come running and do whatever they tell him to do. That it's like evil spirits, that you can get them to do what you want them to do by knowing these magic words. And so they think that they're going to practice Paul's magic, because see, the whole city had been turned upside down by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Then certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took it upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, Yeshua, whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Cepha, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. So this Jew, a priest, and he had seven sons, and so they sought to steal Paul's magic. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And a man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He beat them up, tore all the clothes off, and kicked the tar out of them, showing that, you know, he really was possessed by an evil spirit. Gave him uncommon ability. I mean, he whooped seven guys. I've whooped seven before, but it was uncommon ability. I had a stick when I did it, but I mean, I've whooped seven before. And I didn't have an evil spirit. I was just a pretty evil guy back then. I don't think I had an evil spirit. And they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also. Word of this travels. I'm telling you, bad news travels faster than good news sometimes. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks who dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. People started paying attention to what's going on. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They confessed, man, I fooled with that rottenness before my own self. I've been involved in that magic and that trickster stuff my own self. And I've bewitched people my own self. And I'm telling all you young people and everybody, stay away from Ouija boards. Stay away from all of that stuff. It opens up a channel to wickedness and evil, that there really is evil. And you can invite evil to come into you then. You understand? Evil can't come into you. I was talking to you about that before. Evil can't come into you unless you invite it into you, if you're a Christian. And that's when you do that, you invite the Holy Spirit to leave. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks who dwell at Ephesus. And fear fell upon all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And this is drachma, the Roman coin, about the size of a dime. And it'd be equivalent to about $5,000 in our money today. And so these are magic books about sorceries and incantations and the magic arts. And they had different amulets and charms, and they used it on sick people and people with demons, and they sold their services. And you have the same thing today, all kinds of charm people, tarot card readers, and they'll give you some sort of charm. They'll tell you to put an egg under your pillow and sleep under with an egg in your pillow and get a doll and stick needles in it and make it look like the enemy. And they got all kinds of voodoo and sudoo and every other kind of doo-doo that you can imagine out there, and they'll sell it to you, won't they? They'll sell it to you. and it's silliness, and it's wicked, and it's evil, and you need to stay away from it. You need to burn anything that you have that's associated with it and get it out of your house. And so the 50,000 pieces of silver. Now we have a summary in the book of Acts. And mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. And so this is one of the summaries in the book of Acts. And after these things were ended, Paul proposed in his spirit that he had passed through Macedonia and Asia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after these things I must also go see Rome. So he sent to Macedonia two of them that were ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And at the same time there arose no small stir about that way. There's that word again, that way, the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, Artemis, this idol that I showed you pictures of, brought no small gain to the craftsmen. These people had got rich making these idols and selling them to tourists. And so it'd be like if you went to visit the battleship Arizona, they got all kinds of little trinkets there, and you can put a penny in a machine and squash it, and it'll make it look like the battleship Arizona. And they sell all kinds of trinkets at all tourist attractions, and that's what this was. This was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, a great tourist attraction. And so they're selling these trinkets, and the sale of their trinkets has gone down. In fact, the sale of their trinkets has fallen off to almost nothing. And that same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that now by this craft we have our wealth. They're losing their business. Moreover, you see and do hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul is persuaded and turned much people. That's no hyperbole. These are enemies of Paul, and they're talking about, and Paul has turned much people away from this false religion, this worship of Diana, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at nothing, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they had heard these things, they were full of wrath, and they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught glass and Artarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord to the theater. This theater would hold 25,000 people. This is the greatest riot probably in Paul's whole career. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself in the theater. They wanted to keep him from confronting the mob. And therefore they cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. See, nobody knew what they were doing there except these craftsmen, and they gathered up a whole mob. It's a lynch mob. And so nobody else really knew why they were there, and they knew not whereof they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with his hands, and he would have made a defense unto the people. When they knew that he was a Jew, with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They chanted this over and over and over again. And then when the town clerk had passed the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image that fell down from Jupiter? They said that this idol that was in the temple, it was their superstition that nobody had made that idol, and it fell down out of heaven from Jupiter, who was the chief of the Greek gods. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, and that's a bad translation. The word there is ecclesia. It's robbers of gatherings, robbers of assemblies, robbers of groups of people. nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, and the law is open to him, there are deputies, let them impede one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For in danger, see, are scared of the Romans, for in danger to be called into question this uproar, there being no cause whereby we might give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And after the uproar ceased, chapter 20, verse 1, Paul called unto the disciples and embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. And so we will next week talk a little about Paul's goodbye message to the elders, and then we'll get into Ephesians chapter 1. I'd encourage you to go on and be studying that. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can come and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord, and have your sins washed away. The Apostle Paul was asked, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, now you're going to have that opportunity. You can put behind you all the wickedness of your life. Maybe you haven't been involved in the occult, but you've been involved in things that are different from God, and God wants to make a Christian out of you. He wants to make you just like Jesus. You can come this morning and become a Christian. We'd encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we're standing soon?